Good morning. Well, we have spent the past few months, or at least the majority of them, going through the beginning chapters of Romans, and we've looked at judgment, sin, rebellion against God. He has given up the society to their sins, and it's been a dark, dark place that we've been in for a while now in Romans. So we finished chapter 3, which ended with some hope in the gospel. And I decided that since we're going to take a two-week break from Romans, that we needed to look at a different aspect of God, which is His faithfulness and His love and His mercy and His kindness. It's easy when we look at the gospel and we look at ourselves and we see how sinful we are and how God is angry at sin. It's easy to lose track of the good news of the gospel, which is that He is mighty in forgiveness and kindness and goodness for His people. You see, Christ purchased both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament God's forgiveness and righteousness. We saw that He passed over the former sins in the Old Testament in Romans 3. And He forgives sins in the New Testament. So, and this all comes through what Christ has done. Christ lived a perfect life. He went to the cross. He took the punishment that we all deserve for our sins, that eternal hell, and rose again on the third day. So Jesus accomplished what we could not accomplish for ourselves, which is to achieve forgiveness from God. But the Old Testament saints knew of this forgiveness too as they looked forward to the Messiah. And today we're going to look at Psalm 103, which was written by the King David. And he knew of how merciful and kind God had been to him and would be to him in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, because of our time in the first chapters of Romans, Father, we know of your judgment against our sin. We know of your anger and your wrath against sin, Father. But now let us look now to your kindness and mercy and love for your people in Christ, Father. How wonderful it is that you love us and care for us and forgive our sins, Father. If we will just repent and put our trust in Christ, then we can receive everything in Psalm 103 as ours, Father. All we must do is just acknowledge our sin before you, mourn for our sin, Father, that we have committed, and then put our trust in what Christ has done. And all of these benefits, all of these blessings in this psalm are ours through Jesus Christ. Father, how wonderful that is. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the psalm starts out before verse 1. This is something that we often forget because we're reading through the psalms and there will be something before verse 1. And we think, oh, well, that's just the translator. They're putting something in to remind us of who wrote the psalm. But the fact is, when it says of David here at the beginning of Psalm 103, before verse 1, that is inspired text. This is in the original Bible text of David. So the writer, who was David, wanted us to know that he had written it. And so he wrote that down before he started to write the poetic psalm that we're about to look at. So we know that King David did indeed write this because of that. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So David wants to praise God with everything that is in him. He wants his soul and his life and his energy and his time, everything that he has in him. He wants to praise God because he knows that God has been faithful to him. David wants to praise God for the sake of his holy name. We learned in Romans that Paul preaches the gospel for the sake of God's name. Well, many biblical writers also talk about how God works for the sake of his own name. So David here wants to bless God's name. David wants to praise God because our sinful hearts tend to forget his faithfulness. It says, and forget not all his benefits. As sinners, we often we're depressed and we don't see the blessings of God to us around us. And we forget God's faithfulness. We forget that God is being faithful to us even through the difficult times. He is always faithful. Number one, David wants his soul to remember the blessings of God. Number one, David wants his soul to remember the blessings of God. He's actually talking to his soul in these beginning verses. He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's saying, soul, bless the Lord. And he says it again. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Talking to my soul. I want my soul to bless the Lord. Psalm 103, verses 3 through 5. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Our souls need forgiveness from God because we have sinned against him. We have broken his law. We continue to break his law every day. But God forgives our sin. He forgives our iniquity in Christ. All we have to do is look to what Christ has done, trusting in it, and we can know that God is forgiving us in Christ. Also, our souls are sick under the weight of the sin and need God's healing hand for our souls. So it says, who heals all your diseases. Now, of course, this doesn't cover all physical diseases, all physical suffering in this life. Though it does point to complete healing in the life to come for those who are in Christ. But here it's talking about healing the diseases of your soul. So David is talking to his soul and he's saying, soul, you will be healed from all the diseases, all the maladies, the difficulties that are in your soul. Spiritual death rules over our souls as well. And they need to be redeemed from the pit, or in what the word means pit, it means grave. So we need our life redeemed from the grave, the spiritual death that has ruled over our hearts before we came to God's mercy in Christ. But David knew that his life was redeemed from that grave, and he now had eternal life, both physically and spiritually. Eternal life would come. Not only does God forgive our souls, heal our souls, and redeem our souls, he crowns our souls with his great love and mercy. He loves us. If we are in Christ, if we have acknowledged our sin, repented of our sin, and trusted of what Christ has done, then we have the eternal love of God shining on us, crowning us with mercy and love forever and ever. What a blessing, the love of the eternal God of the universe, who has all the power in the universe, all the authority, and he places his love on us. if we're repenting and trusting in Christ. And how wonderful is that? God gives our souls the eternal satisfaction that they need. We are always looking for some sort of satisfaction in this life. When we sin, we're looking for satisfaction in our sins. When we work, we're looking for satisfaction in our job. When we have relationships, we're looking for satisfaction in our relationships. Yet God is the only true, eternal, always satisfaction that we can have. He satisfies us with his goodness, it says in this psalm. Finally, God renews our souls like the eagles who fly through the skies. We have their youth, meaning we have their energy, we have their passion. God gives us a passion for him that is like the eagles. Number two, God forgives our sin, heals our soul, redeems our life, crowns us with love and mercy, satisfies us, and renews our youth. Number two, God forgives our sin, heals our soul, redeems our life, crowns us with love and mercy, satisfies us, and renews our youth. What more can be said? Well, lots more can be said because the psalm goes on. Psalm 103, verses 6 and 7. The Lord works righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The people of Israel experience both physical and spiritual oppression when they were slaves in Egypt. They, for 400 years, the people of Israel suffered under the dire consequences of physical slavery to Egypt in the Old Testament. Yet God worked righteousness and justice to them physically by helping them leave Israel through the work of Moses. And he also gave them spiritual righteousness and justice. He forgave their sins and chose them as his people. He loved them and cared for them. Matthew 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So this poverty of spirit, the oppression of our sin against our soul, when we sin, it oppresses us, it enslaves us. We are slaves to our sin before we know Jesus. Yet God offers us freedom from that. In what Christ has done, we can be free from the oppression and slavery of sin over our souls. Number three, God works righteousness and justice for the souls of those who feel oppressed by the weight of their own sin. Number three, God works righteousness and justice for the souls of those who feel oppressed by the weight of their own sin. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 10. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Though our souls deserve only judgment from God, as we saw in Romans, because of our sin, he offers us mercy in Jesus Christ. Mercy. Though he is angry at sin, he does not keep his anger forever, because God is patient and kind and merciful and gracious, and he's slow to get angry and quick to forgive for those who will come to him and admit their sin, repent of their sin, and trust in him as their redeemer. Number four, God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and forgiving. Number four, God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and forgiving. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. What good news this is! God's steadfast love for his people is so great that it cannot be measured. It's as high as the heavens are above the earth. When God removes the guilt of our sin from us in Christ, he does it so that he will never again consider it for all eternity. Our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west, which is infinitely far. There's no greater distance than the east from the west because they never meet. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we're in Christ, then nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. You could come up with anything. It won't happen. It's forever. We have his love in Christ. Five. When God sets his steadfast love on us and causes us to fear him, it is impossible to separate us from his love. When we trust in Christ, our sin is removed from us by an infinite distance. Number five, when God sets his steadfast love on us and causes us to fear him, it is impossible to separate us from his love. When we trust in Christ, our sin is removed from us by an infinite distance. Psalm 103, verses 13 through 16. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. God's love is truly like a father's love towards his children, compassionate and kind and loving and with tender care compared to a father's love. And yes, Jesus has the Father as his Father eternally, but in Christ, we too can call God Father, because of what Christ has done for us. God's love for his people is filled with compassion. Compared to God, we are nothing but dust, and our days are nothing but grass. As the wind passes over our short lives, we simply fade away. James 4, verse 14 says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, and then vanishes. Number six, God shows compassion on us because our frame is weak. We are dust. Our days are like grass. And like the flower of the field, we are mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Number six, God shows compassion on us because our frame is weak, we are dust, our days are like grass, and like the flower of the field, we are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Psalm 103, 17 and 18. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Even though our lives are short and quick and fading, the love of God is forever and ever, from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. God's righteousness lasts through every generation. That's what it means when it says to children's children. We will keep his covenant and do his commandments if we are saved through the work of his Spirit. So this is an important teaching. The psalm says here that the blessings come to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. And we just looked at in Romans how sinful we are and how we were under his judgment. But God makes a promise in what is called the new covenant. In the old covenant, if you sinned, you got judgment. And if you did right, you got blessed. And in the end, we always fell into judgment because we could not by our works earn God's righteousness and his favor. But the new covenant, which God talks about in the Old Testament, comes from is Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27, which I'll read now. And just think about how this works out in your life as you believe in Christ. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all of your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So this is the new birth. When Jesus talks in John chapter 3 about being born again, this is what is being referred to. This idea that God is putting his spirit within us, and it says, causes us to walk in his statutes and be careful to obey his rules. So if we are repentant for our sin, repentance being a gift of God as well, and we're trusting, we have faith in what Christ has done, that being a gift of God as well, faith, as we looked at last sermon, last week, then God will cause us to obey him. So even though we're not robots, I don't mean that by any means, but he draws us with his love and his compassion and his righteousness and calls us onto faithfulness in him. So that's how he causes us to walk in his statutes and obey his rules. Number seven, God causes his people to keep his commandments through the work of his Spirit in their hearts. Number seven, God causes his people to keep his commandments through the work of his Spirit in their hearts. Psalm 103, 19 through 22. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God rules the universe from his throne. How amazing is that? God's kingdom covers everything that we know, the entire universe. David's soul praises him as the Lord of all the angels who always obey his will. David's soul praises God for all of his works in every place that exists. Number 8, God not only has the desire to bless his people, he has the authority and power to do so forever and ever. Number 8, God not only has the desire to bless his people, he has the authority and power to do so forever and ever. His mercies, his love, his compassions never end. For those who are in Christ Jesus, his compassions never end. Application. Application point number 1. If we are truly in Christ, we should never doubt the faithfulness of God to us. Number 1. If we are truly in Christ, we should never doubt the faithfulness of God to us. Of course, there's going to be times when we do, because we are sinners. But if we look at the pattern of our life as believers, we can see that God is always faithful to us. And even if we're not seeing his blessing right now in our life, we know that there is future grace, there is future blessing coming to us. If not in this life, then surely in the life to come. So we should never doubt the faithfulness of God to us. Our word tells us that he is faithful. Number 2, application number 2. When our souls do doubt the goodness of God, we should speak to them about his many blessings. Number 2, application number 2. When our souls do doubt the goodness of God, we should speak to them about his many blessings. Just as King David here in this psalm has done, we can open up our Bibles to Psalm 103 and we can look at his amazing blessings to us in Christ. And there's other psalms, other passages all throughout the Bible. We see God's faithfulness to his people, his faithfulness to his gospel, his faithfulness to the church. He is faithful always. And so when we doubt that, we need to go to his word and pray to him and ask him to show us his faithfulness. Application number 3. Just as David did when he recorded this psalm, we should declare the glories of God's faithfulness to others. Application number 3. Just as David did when he recorded this psalm, we should declare the glories of God's faithfulness to others. No matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, when we open our mouth, we should always be speaking of how God is faithful to us, faithful to his people, loving, compassionate, kind, merciful. We can do this because we've seen God's goodness. We've received his faithfulness. So in our workplaces, when we go to restaurants, when we're at church, when we're with our friends, whether they be believing friends or not, we should always be declaring God's wonderful faithfulness to us, because he is faithful and compassionate and kind to us. Dear Lord, Father, I'm so thankful for your faithfulness to me, Father, to bring me and my wife here to Berkeley Crossroads, Father, from halfway across the country, Father. We moved from Kentucky to here, and you have provided everything we need. You have provided your faithfulness to us. And we as a church, Father, at Berkeley Crossroads, we are so thankful for your faithfulness, Father. You have given us everything we need. Even throughout the pandemic, Father, you have been faithful to keep us together through the as a church, Father, and faithful to love us and point us to Jesus through the various ministries that we have. And we're thankful even for the mercy you've given us of the food and fellowship we're about to experience in the church picnic we're about to have, Father. You provided for us physically, spiritually, emotionally. You provided fellowship and friendship and love and togetherness and everything that we need, Father. And you've given us your gospel that Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect life, Father. He had the righteousness that we cannot have, and we receive his righteousness when we trust in him for it. And that he went to the cross and took the punishment for our sin, Father, that we deserve, yet he took that eternal hell in our place. All we have to do is trust him for that, and we don't have to receive that punishment ourselves. And then he rose again on the third day so that we might have new spiritual life now, that we might live to obey you and love you and cherish you, and new physical life in the world to come. Father, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.